Welcome back. If you aren't already following Naked, please take a minute to do so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Each follow means so much and it actually helps a lot. If you have more than just a minute, it would be absolutely incredible if you could leave a review and maybe even share an episode with a friend. I'm relatively new to the pod world, especially new to the things that are important in the podcasting world. And apparently reviews and follows are up there on the list of importance. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Welcome to Naked, where stories unfold. I'm your host, Janelle, a once former pastor's wife who exchanged small town living for a nomadic life. The unexpected change in our life led my husband and our four kids to traveling the world. From years of being rooted in our small town to the thrill of wandering the world, our story has been anything but ordinary. On our journeys, we've met amazing people, learned their way of life, and heard their unique stories, which has led me to understand the profound impact of shared experiences. In each episode, we explore moments of transformation, guided by one single question: is there a time in your life when everything changed? We invite ordinary storytellers like yourself to share the often unexpected turns in life. So grab a seat and settle in. This is the Naked Podcast. One of the joys of traveling is finding a second place to call home, which is usually a cafe with the delicious treats and drinks, of course. So as we were traveling through Nicaragua, we ended up finding this really cute place. It was the first cafe we went to, actually, called Art Warehouse. And my kids, well, all of us love doing art. We're a very artistic family. So finding a place where you can do art and drink delicious drinks and have tasty food was like an all-in-one hit. This cafe really became like our second home, especially for my girls. They spent so much time doing arts and crafts there. Eventually, Kile ended up teaching art there, which was an amazing opportunity for her. But really what was beautiful about it was the essence of the place. And Ruth is the owner, and she's a Canadian like us. And she found her way there through many, many different parts of her journeys that wove her into the space where she was living a life that she never really, I guess, in some ways could have seen herself doing. But she really believed that there was a way that life could bring her to a place where she could practice art and live in a community where people were just being able to find peace through that. And it's in a way that she really was able to connect with going through some processes in her life that were really difficult and trying to find her way to a more peaceful and tranquil kind of space. So Art Warehouse is a place where people can come and be. I find it so interesting because so many travelers come through the area, and as you know, you can't travel with a hot glue gun or, you know, things that would naturally be part of being crafty. But she has this place in this really beautiful small beach town where travelers from all over the world come and they just find a place of creativity, and it creates community and it creates a sense of belonging as well. And so I'm so happy to have Ruth with us here today on our podcast and to share how her life brought her to Nicaragua, how she ended up owning a cafe in Nicaragua and teaching yoga and all the things that have been such a beautiful part of her story. But it took some huge transitions in order to find her way to this space in her life. So today I am beyond honored to have Ruth here and have her share her story about how life brought her to Nicaragua and all the ins and outs of what happened to have this beautiful unfolding in her life. So today, thank you so much for being here. I hope that you really enjoy this episode. We had such a good time chatting, and there's so much that I learned. So get out a paper and pen, write down some notes. This is a podcast with so many amazing little things to take with you. Thank you so much for being here today, Ruth. We met randomly. I feel like life took us to Nicaragua on a very random adventure, and we ended up staying so long, much longer than we anticipated. And your cafe became our like second home. Our girls hung out there all the time and got to do art, and Kiki got to teach, and it just became like a safe place for us to just be and hang out. And you have this like beautiful essence where you bring people together. It's just part of, I think, who you are, but you do such a beautiful way by doing it through art. So today we're talking to Ruth. I'm so glad she's called. We're talking all the way from Nicaragua. And she has a beautiful cafe, and you guys just moved, and there's so many big advancements and changes that you guys have had. But I'm just delighted. Every time someone says yes, I'm like, oh, I just know how big it can be to share our stories. So thank you so much for being here and for taking the time to chat with me from so far away.
Well, thank you. It's a complete honor. And I don't know, because you said you remembered a little bit of my story, and I was like, what story did I tell her? Because at one point I wrote a book. I wrote 17 chapters and I kind of paused when I took over the warehouse. So I was like, there's a lot of stories I might have told.
That is crazy. Well, before you get into that, maybe you can tell people about kind of where you are and what, like, just a bit about your essence. I'd love people just to kind of get a picture of who the guests are and where life has you at this current moment.
Yeah. Well, I'm currently here at our restaurant, the Art Warehouse Cafe and Art Studio, and at the new location where we moved. And of course, we're here in Nicaragua. I currently just moved back into my original home that I own here.
Okay.
I'm in the midst of teaching a yoga teacher training. I don't know if I told you, I also started doing real estate down here.
No, I didn't know.
I'm in this funny, like, role play switching hats daily right now, which is just kind of hilarious, but also so me. Like, I just love to just take on, the borderline of too much. And I don't know if this, I always think it comes actually a little bit from like playing sports and stuff as a kid, like this, like that adrenaline rush of the go-go and like the success of it. I kind of thrive on it. And so, yeah, I think everybody else, family and friends would like to say that, like, you need to spend more time relaxing and on vacation. And I'm like, but I'm having fun. Like, if you guys can't keep up, that's like, I don't know, but I'm having so much fun. So, like, yeah, it's a go, go, go mode though. And that's where I'm kind of at. And it's Sunday, so it is a little bit more of a relaxing day today. And I will go to the beach today. I'm looking forward to
get
to
the beach. Yeah. Relax a little bit.
I'll get there.
Yeah, you have your hands in a lot of things. I don't always, I'm even being there, I'm like, how does she just even keep up with the posting? Like, you're so active as far as letting people know what kind of events are happening and what you guys are doing and what you're hosting. And I'm just like, that's a full-time job. Never mind running a cafe. And then I knew you did yoga, but I didn't know you actually teach yoga training.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
And I love it. That is like the teaching yoga is my heart work. I always feel like, and the art, I just feel like you really notice what lifts you up, right? And for me, the teaching yoga, it's like no matter how poor my energy is or anything, what's going on in my day, I've never taught a yoga class and come out of after teaching being like, man, I feel like crap. Like, that's just never the case. Like, I come out and there's something, because you're teaching and saying all these lovely, inspiring things to the class, but you're receiving all of that as well. I think that's a big part of it. And also, like, when you're teaching yoga, people don't talk to you. Always have this funny thing about that. I'm like, maybe that's why I enjoy it. No one interrupts me. I just get to talk and say a lot of nice things, and everyone seems really happy afterwards. And it's
you're all taking it in.
Yeah.
You're like, I like being around people, but I especially like being around. It's just like, it's very calm.
Well, it's so peaceful, right? I mean, because like I do, I thrive on teaching the art classes as well, but and the kids, I love that, but I watch the balance, and kids are kids and they're amazing and they're so much fun and they bring me so much joy, but they're also exploring and just kind of testing their boundaries and stuff like that. And so it can be like, if you're already having a hard day and then a kid or an adult just wants to be difficult, it's like it tests you a little bit. So there are days, that's the kind of reflection that I have, that like, though I thrive on both, there are days where teaching an art class can feel draining, whereas like I really try to think about if there's been a day teaching yoga where I felt drained, and I don't. And so I really see that as my big heart work. And I also feel when I'm teaching that I just sort of like drop into something, a little bit of that sense of like tuning in or channeling and stuff. Words come out that I'm like, where did that come from?
So soul filling, hey? Like there are things that just fill you up in your soul.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I guess that's a bit about where I'm at now. I've got my little adorable doggo at my feet. She's kind of my little companion right now, that's just everywhere in all my fun and my chaos. Somehow manages to like keep up.
Aww. She's so soft, such a nice, I think, is it a Cavalier?
Yeah, she's a Cavalier King Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, So it was okay. I wasn't sure of that. They're so cute. The cutest dog ever.
And
it's nice you have your little partner.
She was gifted to me from another family who have also been around, kind of they showed up around the same time as you guys. So I don't know if you know Lee and Yolanda, but they're also a big family, and between you guys, like you guys were really, when we were in our slowest times, I think, what year did you guys arrive? Was it?
Okay. That's a good question. I'm trying to think. I think it was,
would it have been 2020 or 21?
21, I think it was.
21. Yeah.
Yeah. We came in February of 21, I think it was.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's so many lovely families, but you guys really, between those two families, you guys always were coming in, and you both kind of took that home space in the restaurant and became so special to me. And because there's lots of kids, like, you guys have a whole different range, right? So, I love that, you know. I think whether you're a parent or not, just having that time with kids is so important that we're always kind of learning from them as well.
100%. And that's the thing, the space that you create there is, it's like, it's such a family warmth of a space. And I would love to come see your new space, but even what you had before, like the kids could come and do art and parents could just like either join in or have something to eat, but it just had this like real warmth to it. Like, you know, it just, families could just be, you know, it's okay to be messy, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's important. You know, that feeling of just being able to drop paint on the floor sometimes and just be like, it's okay.
It's okay. It doesn't matter.
I like it.
Yeah. In fact, it's art.
Yeah.
Keep that up. I got to ask you, what are you drinking today? Because all of my guests are always like, bring something tasty to drink, whether wine or tea.
I have two drinks.
Oh.
Very typical of me, but this one's water.
Amazing.
And it's we're still like kind of at the tail end of our hottest season, so... I tried to make myself a tea this morning, even at my house, and I was like, that's going to go on ice because it's that kind of day. So I also have a beautiful matcha.
But I've been
kind of like waiting because I'm like, I really want that matcha, but I also feel like it's very hot and humid and I'm just going to end up sweating.
So, you're like, I got to balance off these two up.
It's a nice cold water in me first. Yeah. And you?
I just had a big walk here. We're in Barcelona right now. Mm. And it's lovely. So we're just exploring and I came back and I was like, usually I found this great tea that I love and I travel with. But I was too hot. So I just have lemon water, which was like, okay, it's just quenching my thirst because it's a warm day here. I think it's 27, which isn't warm compared to Nicaragua because it's probably 37 there. But
I don't even know what the temperature is. It's just humid.
It's humid. It's just hot. It's just at some point humid. In Nicaragua, you're like, I don't look anymore. It just, I can feel it.
Yeah.
It's the only place in the,
by about 10.
It's the only place in the world where you sweat behind your knees. I'm like, I've never sweat just standing, just like dripping sweat behind my knees, behind my ears. I'm like, how is this possible?
It's so funny because like, I actually, it's a huge reason why I live here. I had like a session with a Chinese herbalist when I was in Canada at one point, and I was sick for a long time, and I went in to see her. I had this lingering cold and it was winter, and I went to see her and she goes, you have cold, right? And I was like, yeah, I know, I've had this cold. She's like, no, you have cold. And she's like, your body just runs cold. And she started describing all these different things that I'd had been going on really since I was a kid, since I was a teenager, especially. She was describing how my hands are always cold. I sweat when I'm in the cold more than in the heat, and because my body actually goes into like overdrive trying to stay warm. But then it's like my temperature just rises and then drops immediately when I'm in cold places, and I feel like my shoulders are up to here, so I always have tension in my neck. But she read all that from just looking at my eyes, my tongue, and she was so spot on, everything that she said. So yeah, most of the time I don't sweat here, but the last few days I have been like, is my neck sweating? Like, what is that?
How is that impossible?
Yeah.
And I'm just standing. Like, I'm not even exerting
any energy. Yeah, literally. Like, I'm just, not even moving. Just breathing.
I'm just sweating. Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a heat in Nicaragua that is very special and unique that I've never experienced anywhere else in the world. Like, even in Vietnam, it's just different. Like, it's just a different kind of heat.
People really surrender to it. They just I'm just doing
you hug now. You hug each other like, I know, we're just mixing stuff. Yeah, the hug is fine. Totally. Oh, that's crazy. Well, I can understand, and I can still sometimes feel it. I'm like, when I'm talking to Lexi and she's like doing one of these, or she's like wiping up her top of her lip.
Yeah, because she's still here.
Yeah.
So I keep running into her all over the place in these moments, and we're like, we have to meet up. And then we just are both like very busy. I know she's now running her business too, right? So
yeah, it's exciting. Crazy busy. But yeah, it's good. Well, I'm glad we both have something tasty, whether it's cold or hot. I don't have anything hot, but who knows? Maybe that will be added in later on. But thank you so much for being here and for joining us. And I only know bits of your story. Like I remember in between classes, like the kids are talking, like we never actually got a chance to just go out, the two of us. But like, I get like little snippets. So when I ask people, like I mentioned to you, it's like, would you like to share a part of your life when everything changed? And it's like, well, which part? There's like 10 or more. Exactly. You know? And I'm like, just pick one out of the hat. Like whatever comes to you. Honestly, in the moment, feels like, this is the thing, because it can be a lot. I remember when I first shared my story, I wasn't sure which one of the 20 stories I was going to pick from. And then I just, in the moment, just like, this feels right.
Yeah, so, that's, yeah, exactly. I was like, which one? I've had so many pivotal moments, and they've all had, and I've had beautiful reflections on how they've all landed me at where I am now. And that being said, I had an aha moment. I was, I was teaching with my yoga students, and I just started telling them a bit of a story about a pivotal point in my past. And all of a sudden I was like, that's the one that I'll share. It's an older story, but it really is like still has been one of the biggest catapults to what has landed me here, there, and a lot of places along the way. So as they do. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. How you're like, this is how I got here.
Yeah. Do you want me to just go ahead and start?
Yeah. Wherever you want to start, we'll leap through it and just see where it takes us. But yeah, wherever you feel like you want to start.
So I'm originally from Salt Spring Island, British Columbia, Canada. And that's where I was living. And I was working in Victoria, BC, Canada, as a chef at the Fairmont Hotel for quite a few years. And I had started seeing this guy that he was actually from the same island as me, and we completely just fell in love, and it was like we were so compatible, and we ended up very quickly, within a year and a half, we had bought a house together, and it was this picturesque home. Like, it was not huge or anything, but it was just like the perfect garden, this big beautiful weeping willow tree in the back corner of the garden. And it was like the perfect, what's that song, like two cats in the yard, like we had the two cats, and it was just like this little life was, you know. And as we had bought our house, of course, we were so just like into our garden and our barbecue and having our friends over, and we just we got along. We never we didn't really fight a lot or anything, and when we did, it was always playful and humorous, and we were really good about talking about things. And he started working outside of BC. He started working actually like in Alberta, and he was a welder, but he was working on the oil rigs. And when he started working away, I was starting to get really sad and just feeling really alone. I was like, wow, like I feel all of a sudden like I don't have any people here. And I know like I do have lots of connections, but they're busy, they're working, they're with their partners, they're starting to have kids and all these things. And I was like, oh my god, like I don't have a hobby, I'm not good at anything. I felt like I had no, like, it was not an artist at the time. I was really like, I just like, I don't know, I'm kind of good at this, I'm kind of good at that, but I've never been like exceptional at really anything. And I was, I was quite like depressed about it, especially when he was away. I didn't know what to do with myself. And at some point I did go out and buy this little art package. And I remember like I drew a tree, and I was really into painting the leaves. And I would draw a little bit with that, but honestly, I didn't, it kind of got put on a shelf at one point, and I just sort of forgot about it. But I did have a friend who worked at the hotel with me, and she would also She was totally into art and painting, and she would kind of get me over to her house with some friends sometimes, and like, she was the kind of person who would just totally get into character. Like, she had to have those perfect jean coveralls and have like the perfect like, kind of accidental paint across her face, which is so fun. And you know, but I always felt kind of out of place because I was like, what am I doing? Like, you know, I'm not good at this, but I was trying. It was kind of like getting me out of my shell and getting me out of my house and spending some time with some people. And the more that my boyfriend was working away, he, you know, there was that sort of separation. And, but yet he would come home and we were madly in love. All the things seemed just too good to be true. Like, I even had friends that told me that, like, our relationship made them question their own relationships.
Wow.
Because it was so just, like, it just seemed too lovely, just the way we were always having fun. He would stand, if we went out together, if we were at a bar, he'd find some way to stand on a table and sing a song to me. Like, he was just, you know, we were just totally in love. And then all of a sudden, that same friend that actually was an artist, her boyfriend was good friends with my boyfriend, and they had gone on a trip to, like, Thailand or something, and they ended up randomly separating. And when they did, it felt like there was a little bit of influence of him coming into being single that he was then chatting with my boyfriend. And I think I felt like my boyfriend was getting this sort of like, maybe I want to be single again. But it felt very out of the blue all of a sudden. He was like, do you ever feel like you want to go, that you want to like have a break? And I was sort of like, what? No, I hadn't been thinking about that at all. Where is that coming from? Like, you seem like you're so crazy about me. And yeah, I was really like thrown by it. I was very upset and was kind of like, I don't know if you feel that way, maybe we should. But we didn't in the moment separate, and we stayed together, and he was still working away. And when he was working away, things were getting funny. One thing I always adored about him is that, like, if he ever did go out and drink with his friends, he'd call me by 10 a.m. If he was at home in Victoria, he'd come flying in the door so early, just like, who cares? I don't want to go out, because we were in our 20s still then. And he was like, I'd just rather be here with you. And was so sweet like that. And I remember he was away and he didn't call me until about 2 or 3 in the morning. And he sounded sort of funny. And I was like, what have you been doing? And I could tell he'd been doing, like, he'd been having like an upper, you know, and that he was up that late and his voice sounded strange. And I was like, this is not the person I'm used to, like, what's going on? And so he instantly was like, how did you know? And I was like, I can just tell you sound, you're not yourself. And also, like, it's 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Not being like yourself. So that was weird. And then, after he came home from that trip away, he was like really adamant suddenly that he thought that we should separate. And I couldn't understand why. It still felt very like, I don't get it. I thought we were so in love. And then I started to really think about it, and I was starting to realize, like, I think he's cheated. I think he's, or somebody is on his mind, because that is where I've had that in the past, where, like, all of a sudden when there's someone else, that you just have this, like, flip of a switch. And I kept asking him, and he kept denying it, but eventually it did come up that that was the case. He had actually cheated on me, and then it was like, boom, okay, we're separating. We had an agreement that, like, if that was to happen in our relationship, then we wouldn't try to stick it out. So we separated, and it was intense. I was like, you know, not just because of the separation, but because of the home that we had. And I was also right at the age, like, I think I was 29, so I was about to turn 30. All of a sudden, my whole, like, what I thought was this great love, having a home, I thought we were going to be together, get married, have kids. And a ton of my friends at that age were right in that point of, like, you know, so meanwhile, I'm going through this, like, intense breakup, completely, like, you know, doubting my self-worth and all these things. And friends are calling, going, like, hi, I've got great news. You know, we're engaged. Oh. I'm pregnant.
Oh, man.
And I was so confused and lost and just, like, completely just, I didn't know, like, where I was going, what I was doing. We, in our house, we had gone, it was like a 70-30. So, and my portion was the 30. So I was like, I guess that's me moving out of the house then, and we'll figure out how to separate the finances. And, I didn't see him through the whole separation, actually. When he finally admitted the infidelity. We were on the phone with each other, and I didn't see him. And I was going through this kind of ebb and flow of like, am I going to be okay? And I was lost. I mean, I don't usually smoke cigarettes, and I was getting up and smoking at 6 a.m. on my front doorstep. Just like, I don't know who this person is, but it was, it's crazy even just to look back on those times, because like my perspective has changed so much now in the realization of what was really going on for me as far as like where that self-worth, lack of self-worth was rooted and actually right. coming from. And now I would say that had so little to do with the relationship. Of course, it was like affecting me, and I was confused, and it was hard. It was heartache. And anyway, we separated, and I had to separate from the house. I ended up living with these two women that I actually worked with. But they were younger. I was turning 30, and they were like 21 and 24. And they were great. They were super fun. And half the reason why we ended up moving in together is because they had a little apartment they weren't happy with. And I was terrified of like, how could I go from living in like my big, beautiful house that I loved so much right. to, it felt like such a step back for me if I had to live in an apartment by myself. And also Victoria had become very expensive. So the idea of even paying rent on my own yeah. was like, I don't even think I could. Like, so I ended up getting this house with these girls, and it was actually lovely. And I had a big yard and a beautiful cherry tree. And they were kind of my saving grace in so many ways. They became like sisters to me, and I lived with them for almost a year and a half. And one of them was an artist. And so she kept throwing a sheet down on the floor and painting and being like, come over here, we're having a paint session. And it was like this fun thing. And then, you know, and I was sad. I didn't know what, I felt like I didn't have a hobby, but I needed to figure out what to do yeah. with my mind, because my mind, I had so much anxiety and felt so lost and depressed and all these things. And so it was like, okay, I'll try, you know. And all of a sudden I started to paint with them, and I went out at some point and bought a canvas. I'd never painted on a canvas before, and I started drawing. So I had gone to Mexico after the breakup and had this big, like, you know, Lollapalooza, just partied yeah. basically. Like, I drank too much, tried to forget all my problems, and it was fun. And I was with another friend in Mexico who had also just split up from a partner, and we were just like, totally like, let's just forget. And we had a great time, but by the time I came back, I did then continue moving out of my house, and it was February, which is like, right. just, you know, you're from Calgary, you know, it's just like the worst weather and just very dark and depressing. And so, I moved into this new house, and I bought this canvas, and I started to draw. It was from a picture that I had taken in the hostel that we stayed at in Mexico. And, you know, I was sketching it with a pencil, and it felt like something's guiding me. Like, I don't even know how I'm doing this. And I just kept drawing and drawing and drawing, 'cause like, I've not taken any lessons or anything. And I had finished drawing, and it was very intricate. And I remember the whole thing was drawn in pencil, and I was like, how did I do this? And then I was like, I want to paint it, but I was so afraid to ruin it. You know, I was like, maybe I'll just leave the drawing and we'll just keep it at that. And then, but no, I got inspired. My roommates encouraged me, and I got so into it, just putting on my music and getting in this zone. And it was very meditative. And it, because it was so intricate, everything was like really fine detail lines that I had to do. And it was acrylic. So it was like, acrylic's very forgiving. If you make a mistake, you can paint over it. So I was learning as I was going, and, it just like, it opened up a different world to me. I realized that like, I could kind of channel myself into this place that I was at peace. And when you're so focused, I relate this to yoga as well. When you're so focused on drawing such a fine line or something like that, or getting your perfect smooth brush stroke, it's really hard to be thinking about the future or the past.
Yeah, so totally.
You're not thinking about your ex-boyfriend anymore all of a sudden, you know. So it was helping me, and I don't know how much I was even aware of that was why it was helping me in the moment, but it was, and I was finding peace in it. And shortly after, I was looking back at this painting that I was like, I don't even know, I can't believe I painted this. Like, for my first canvas, I was like, I don't know. Again, like, it felt like I was so tuned in. And I know a lot of musicians who say this too, like that feeling of just being so in the zone that you feel like you're channeling from an energy or something somewhere else, and it just comes through you. Yeah. So it was like that. And I was so excited because I was like, okay, oh my God, maybe I can paint. And so I got another canvas and I started doing this painting of a Buddha. And it was also like that, very intricate, and same thing, kind of drew it and was like, okay, can I paint this? And I got into all these golds and bronze and silvers and I painted it. And so that kind of opened up my world to the painting. And at that same time, during that year or so that I was living at that house with those girls, I started to get, you know, I was going to yoga. I was going to yoga lots because I was also realizing that's helping. It's helping with my depression and my anxiety. So I was going quite regularly to what was called moksha at the time. They're now called Modo. It's like a hot yoga.
Wow.
It was winter and hot yoga is really lovely and when it's cold. And for me especially, like, I don't want to do well in the cold. So I was starting to get, I remember looking at the teacher at the front of the room sometimes and just thinking, like, I wish I could, imagine if I could teach. Like, I would love, if I could be a yoga teacher. Like, I was terrified, by the way. I had a massive fear of speaking in public. I was absolutely, like, I would get freaked out just by having a job interview. I would be totally nervous to the point where I'd psych myself out sometimes, like, and not go to job interviews. Or one time I went to a doctor and asked for, I think it's called like a beta blocker, and it makes you really calm. And so, like, I should have done that for, so I had this thing where, like, oh my God, if I could overcome this fear, because I love yoga, and I was starting to get so curious about why are they saying these different poses? Why is that helping with your nervous system? Or why is that helping with your flushing out your kidneys or all these things? And I just was like, I want to know more. So I started looking into taking a 200-hour training, and I found one in Victoria that worked with my working schedule. I was still working as a chef at the Empress, so I found a way to do one that was like a few evenings a week and weekends. It's called Ajna Yoga Studio in Victoria, BC. And that really changed things for me as well, just to dive into a course and to start to study and have that also, that distraction and sense of purpose as well.
Yeah.
But the things that I was learning through that program was making so much sense to me, of like so many things that were happening in my own body, my own mind, my own thought process, learning about things like the chakras. I remember so well this moment where the teacher was talking about the heart chakra and these different ways that our body will respond to protecting the heart. Right. She was talking about going through sadness and depression and how you start to kind of, like, people when they're sad, they sit like this and the body starts to get almost stuck like that because of the fascia and everything that just is like, and then meanwhile, your pectoral muscles are getting like crunched and you're putting pressure on your heart and it relates to heart disease. And in the moment she was telling all this stuff, I was like curled in and hunched over and I was like, oh, and started to like try to sit up more straight. And I hadn't noticed that I'd been holding myself like that, literally curled in and protecting my heart like that. And I was just like, wow, just wow, you know, starting to understand all this stuff and how I could change and what it was doing. And it was also in that there was a lot of stuff about what we do in emotional holding, and especially talking about forgiveness, because I hadn't forgiven my ex. I'd never gone through a breakup and been so upset with an ex before, actually ever. I'd always been the one that left and was like, we're okay, we can be friends. And in this case, I was like, you know, I felt really betrayed. My home, I lost my home through it. You know, I was so hurt and heartbroken, and I resented him a lot, and I was carrying that. And through this program, through the yoga stuff, there I was learning how much like my lack of forgiveness was a burden on me, and I was holding on to this like heaviness and this anger and what it was actually doing and the tensions in my own body. And this is another crazy kind of side note, that like I went out to a bar in town one night, and I ran into one of his friends, who a lot of his friends through our breakup were really, like, they were upset with him too, and they had really kind of cold shouldered him through a lot of it. And so I ran into this guy who had, like, he'd been kind of like that. He was really not impressed and hadn't really stayed close with him since. And we were chatting a bit, and he was like, "Hey, have you talked to him at all?" And I was like, "No, I don't talk to him. Why would I want to talk to him and all this stuff?" And he was like, I think you should talk to him. And I was like, "What? You know, why would I?" And then another friend who was dating someone he was friends with, a very close girlfriend of mine, said on the phone with me one day, she was like, "Do you know that he has cancer?" And so, like I said, I hadn't talked to him. I'd never seen his face. And it was probably a year and a half at this point after we'd separated that I started to find out this news. And because I was learning all this stuff about emotional holding in my yoga program, I started to realize, like, wow, you know, I've had my resentment, my lack of forgiveness, and my hurt heart, but he's holding on to guilt and shame and all these things. And I was like, oh, I get teary-eyed just talking about it. And I just had such a, like, we need to let it go, you know? Mm-hmm. And at the time, he was in the hospital. I found out he was, like, in Victoria in the hospital. And I was like, I got to go see him. I got to go just talk to him and get him to let it go. Because maybe if he's holding all this crap in his body, it's also playing into this cancerous stuff happening. Yeah. And so I talked to my really good friend who was the artist and the girl who worked with me, whose boyfriend had also been friends with him. And I said, like, I got to go talk to him, but I'm terrified and I need you to come with me. And she wrote this big, beautiful card for him. And we were so, like, psyched up about it. And we went in and I was just so nervous. Like, everything I wanted to say was piling up. And I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen when we see each other for the first time in a year and a half? And they allowed us to go in to his room, but he was totally, like, out and asleep.
Oh.
And we sat in there for, like, quite a while. I mean, we must have been sitting in there for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And I remember us kind of, like, sneaking into the room, and he looked quite, like, you know, thick and, like, with new tattoos on his arms and stuff. I knew he'd gone traveling around, like, South America and stuff. And so, and my friend was like, he looks like a sleeping prince. I was like, I know, like, he's gorgeous, you know. And he never woke up while I was there. And so we left, and she left her sweet card. And about a week later, I was walking from my yoga program, and I had to pass by the hospital that he was at. And so I went, okay, I'm going in. I might have messaged his mom, but it turned out she was there leaving the hospital as I came in, and she was like, just, you know, thank you. And I went in, and I was totally by myself. And again, he was sleeping when I got in. Oh. But the crazy thing was, it had only been a week. He may have started at that point chemo sessions, but he looked like he had dropped so much weight. And I remember just thinking, it looked like the way his body looked like somebody who had suddenly been living on the street and starving. And yeah, it was heartbreaking. And I sat down beside him and I just started to talk anyways. And he woke up while I was there, and he was like, oh my God. Like, he wanted to say everything to me. And I had to kind of, like, talk him through it and just be like, it's okay. Like, calm down. Like, you know, I want to chat, but, like, anyway, I stayed and just talked, and we talked about all this stuff, and I told him everything that I'd been up to and that I'd been taking this program and how it had become so important to me to let go, not only what I was hanging on to, but for him to let go, and that I really thought that it could be an important part of his healing process if he could understand that I wasn't angry with him anymore, and that I just wanted him to know that he was loved. And he received it very well. And he would, you know, he just, like, again, he wanted to say everything, and all he wanted to do was apologize and tell me all the things that he'd been experiencing. And literally, it was all the guilt and shame he'd been carrying, you know. And so it was very, just such a valuable moment. And his cousin, even he, so he did live, he was okay. Even his cousin reached out to me at one point and said, thank you so much for offering him that forgiveness, because I swear to God, it's the reason he was able to get over his cancer. And she, like, multiple times throughout years after that, I've run into her, and wow, she still says it. She's like, you don't understand how much that meant to us and the entire family. And yeah, it helped him. And that, I mean, that wasn't the pivotal point, but obviously somewhat of a pivotal point of me understanding the emotional holding that we do in our body and how important it is to not only be hanging on to myself, but not wishing that on anyone, to be stuck in that and to understand that we need to move those energies. And yeah, all the yoga stuff gave me such a different perspective on all of that. And I kind of went from there to, I left Victoria, I was very sad still in the city. And I was just sort of like, I had been so in love with the guy, and I never thought that I would meet anyone like him, and I wasn't meeting anyone like him. And so I was like, I got to get out of Victoria. Victoria, I don't know if you know, has like 3-to-1 females to men. So <it's> like, yeah, I was feeling at a loss, and I was like, yeah, I think I got to get out of this city. And that same friend that had been an artist that had kind of like in the beginning, not the one I lived with, but the other one, her name's Sonia, her and I were out for a run one day, and she was like running with me. And she said, have you ever thought about going to work on yachts? Well, we were out for a run, and I was like, actually, I have. Yeah, I have a lot of friends in the industry. And because I'm a chef, I have people reach out all the time and ask me if I want to go. And I've just never been able to. Because typically those jobs come up and it's like, can you show up in 2 days?
Right.
But we got this idea that summer to start planning and to go. And so we went. We went by the September that following summer, and or the after that summer. And that to me was like the pivotal. It was the separation from him. And though there was this time of healing and learning, if I hadn't have separated from him, I wouldn't have gone on this entire other journey. And the yachting world was a whole other thing, right? That I think I thought I would go for 3 months and have sort of like a getaway, do something different. Yeah. And it ended up being at least a 6.5 year career for me.
Wow.
That took me all over the world.
Wow, that's amazing.
Was an incredible journey of ups and downs. And that's what I started to write about when I finally landed back in Nicaragua. It was a big story about that, and also that relation to the guy I had been with in Victoria and all of it. And it's just sort of like all this journey of like heartache and love and all the ebbs and flows of everything. And, but inevitably even the yachting took me to like, this is not my heart work. You know, I do really love cooking, but I kept coming back to like, no, I've taken this yoga training and I really want to teach yoga. And one day, how much time do I have? Can I tell it?
Oh yeah, you've got time. You got time.
So, cause I love this story. This is the story how I ended up in Nicaragua. So it's very important.
Amazing.
I was working on these yachts and I was in Europe, and I was in Italy in Venice. And it's like the most beautiful, romantic city. And all these people working on our boat had seemingly become couples. They were all single when we started on the boat. And suddenly, they all seemed to be dating in some way or another. And I was still single. And I was also just so exhausted. The work on the yachts is like sometimes 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. And it can be like that for weeks straight when you're on charters. And it was, yeah, I was so exhausted. And I remember sitting in this back little cobblestone street by myself, drinking a bottle of wine and writing the most depressing notes in my journal. Like really, like I would like to just throw myself off the back of the boat the next time that we're underway. And yeah, just very depressed. And it's not that I would have done those things, but I am a writer. And so I use that as my expression. And I understood I need to move this like stuck energy that's getting. So I was writing, and they were these very, very dark thoughts. And I went back to the boat that afternoon, and my cabin mate she came back at one point and she was kind of getting dressed and getting ready. And she was like, we're going to go out for dinner. Come with us. And I was like, I literally can't. Like, my body is aching from head to toe. And all I can do is just lay here and get some rest in this cabin. And she was like, all right, fine. But if you want, there's some movies on my computer so I can leave it for you. And I said, yeah, that would be great. And she had The Secret. And I was like, I think I need that right now. Yeah. Like, I'd seen it before, but I was like, that sounds about, like, right where I'm at. I think I need a little, like, switch of positivity. And I watched it, and it was such a reminder. And my journal from that day was, like, one page, just this totally dark, depressed, almost, like, suicidal thoughts. And then the next one is, like, I am so happy now that I teach yoga. I'm so happy now that I live in the tropics and I own a home in the tropics and there's a yoga studio on my property. And I think I probably said about owning a cafe, all these things that I was manifesting. And I literally a week later, the captain called me into the bridge and he was like, I'm so sorry, but we have to let you go. They had a previous chef that they loved. They were trying to get her on before we hired you and she wasn't available, but she's suddenly available and they want her on like now. And I was like, okay, like when do you want me to be off the boat? And he was like, well, like tomorrow. And I think he thought he was going to need to pass me a tissue. Like I would be so upset. And I was like, really? Like, I was so drained of that boat. And I was also like, I was hoping to visit some people in Europe that I was suddenly realizing with our whole itinerary that I was going to completely miss them. And so I was bummed about that. And yeah, it's just, I was head to toe. Like my muscles were so tense from the work and yeah, I was just sort of like, okay.
You're a bit relieved.
And they were really sweet. They put me up in like a penthouse suite. We were in Croatia. So they put me in this gorgeous penthouse suite for like 4 days after I got off the boat and paid for all my flights home and everything. So I was like, this is great. And they allowed me to take the extra time in Europe before my flight was booked home, which they don't always do, but they allowed that. And so I actually got to like travel around and see all these friends I thought I was going to miss. And then I landed back in BC and all these people were like different friends of mine were talking to me at different times and were like, there's an opportunity down in Nicaragua to teach yoga. And this guy Tyson was just here. He's a guy we all went to high school with. And they were like, we already told him you're the one. You've got to get in touch with him. It's a perfect job. I know you've been wanting to do this and you've got to just go. And literally like five different people had this conversation with me. And I, you know, I was like, sign me up. Oh my God, it's perfect. Where's Nicaragua? No idea where Nicaragua is on the map. I don't even know if I've even heard of Nicaragua. Even though I'd been to Mexico a lot, it's like I'd been down to Central America a little bit. But it was this hilarious thing where I was like, I don't care. I can literally, like, the universe is responding to every other detail I've been putting down on paper. And I came down and I did a yoga work trade at Costa Dulce, which is where I still work and teach and where I'm doing a teacher training now. But that
was how many years ago was that?
Pardon?
How long ago was that?
That was in 2015.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So quite a while back. And I taught, but I would go back and work on the boats a bit. By 2016, I had bought my place here, which was like a little cabin, but there was a community yoga studio on the property. Nice. I never even looked at another place. The realtor took me first to there and I was like, sold. Like that was literally like what I wrote. It was affordable. One of my things was like, I'm not going to have a mortgage to pay. And it was so cheap at the time. Yeah, it was so affordable. And it was just like, sign me up. I'm doing this. Like everything is falling into place. And it felt like that. And, you know, there's still been the ebbs and flows of everything along the way that like, it was never just perfect and breezy, but that was my original kind of reason to end up in Nicaragua. And here I am.
That's incredible. I have to ask you. Okay. So you're sitting and you're journaling in this little street in Croatia?
No, at the time I was in Venice. The boat was moving a lot. Okay. We were moving like by the day, by the week, we were moving to a different place. So,
okay. Yeah. So you're journaling that. I want to get this straight because I'm just like, my mind's like, what? So you're journaling about how you're feeling really depressed, and like, I get writing. I love to, writing's part of what I do too. And it's like a way to really get things out of your head and onto paper. It's just a very therapeutic healing thing.
Yeah.
So you're writing things out. And then at what point was that, that same day where you're writing out, where you watch the movie and then you're like, okay, but I want to have like, I want to have a yoga studio and all these things. That's all the same day.
Pretty much. Like, I may have journaled more so the next morning because it was that same day that I watched The Secret. So whether I might have done a bit of journaling that night, but it was literally the next page in my journal, side by side.
And then you, side by side.
Side by
and
side.
And then the next day you talk to the captain. He's like, we're going to need to let you go.
It must have been at least a week after, because okay. I remember kind of going through that, like, a understanding that like my mental thoughts are a part of what's creating this reality of me feeling so depressed. And all of a sudden I had switched my thought process to like, I was just kind of walking around working on the boat, like having this, like, I'm so happy, 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 smile, smile. And I was doing that, which was kind of hilarious to me that I knew I was doing that. So it's kind of making me have this little smile on my face anyways, because it's just like, feels weird, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And the instant reflection, because I was kind of having this feeling like, these people on the boat don't like me, I'm no fun, I never want to go out and do anything, and I was grumpy and not happy and all those things. So, you know, all of a sudden hugely realizing like how quickly, when I was just smiling and changing like the even the vibrational frequency that I was putting out by changing my thoughts and my intentions, what I was receiving. Yeah, within the same week that I had started doing this journaling and just kind of switching my kind of mantras and stuff that I was telling myself and the intentions, that all of a sudden people were being so sweet to me, like just like, hi, good morning. Like, I was like, this is weird.
But oh, I like this is crazy.
Yeah. It was such a beautiful realization of like how easily, like, we have a choice every single moment, every second we have a choice to switch our thought process. And it's so easy. Mm-hmm. We've all had those moments where you're just like, oh, this sucks, I feel terrible, and we can get into that, you know, spiraling thought process. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just allow ourselves to anyways, but knowing that you have the tools to pull yourself out of that is so key.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And like, and then, yeah, seeing things differently allowed you to even probably when the, I can imagine when the captain's like, hey, we're gonna let you go, a sense of like, okay, like what's next? Because you have, you're not in this, stuck in this mindset of like, this is my only thing, and I'm stuck and here. I know.
I'd made a killing on the boat too. Like, I was already, I'd been on the boat for a few months already, and we were doing back-to-back charters, and they have incredible tips. And so I was like, great.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I can't even, like, just imagine if you'd ran a full marathon or something, like the way my body was aching from head to toe, the idea that like, I didn't have to pick up and try to move my body the next day. I was like, this sounds fantastic. Like, can I sleep? Like, can I just lay? And I did in Croatia. All I did was like lay out in my hotel room a lot, just letting my body rest, watching movies. But then I'd like go and wander the streets as well and like do, you know, go get food and like treat myself to a little dessert and read my book. But I was like, yeah, I was deeply like aching from head to toe physically as well. So just the idea that I didn't have to literally lift a finger the next day, I was like, please, like that is all I need. So
sign me up.
Yeah.
And then not so much longer later, it sounds like maybe within the next month, or maybe last, you were in Nicaragua, bought a place.
Yeah, pretty much by like a month or a month and a half, because I think I was in BC for a few weeks for sure. The guy, and he still is to this day, really hard to like communicate with, especially by text and phones, texts and emails. Mm-hmm. So our first conversation was like, yeah, all right, so let's try this out. But it was very vague. It was so vague, the details. And I remember afterwards talking to my dad and his girlfriend at dinner, and they were like, so what's the plan? What's the agreement? You know, are they paying you?
Yeah.
Is there food included? And I was like, I don't know. Don't even know. I was like, but I'm going. I know that. Like, I didn't care. I had made money, and I was like, I can pull myself out. If there's anything wrong, there's no reason why I can't put myself on a plane and deal with it. But I was like, I'm just trusting the universe right now. Like, it's, I've literally put this out there and it's responding, and I have to just like lean into that and try it out. And I went and it was like, yeah, we had agreed for like, let's see how a month goes. I think we made that agreement about a month after I was like already in Nicaragua.
Committed.
We're like, let's do this month and see how that goes. And it was going great. And so I stayed for three. But I had other things I had to do. I had a wedding to go to in Bali, and they had other teachers coming through that were doing retreats and stuff. So it worked out perfectly. I think by like February I left. I went and saw my mom, and then I went to Bali. Wow. Yeah.
And that's almost 10 years ago. Like that's 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Cause it was 20, wow. Well, it was 2013 when I first started working on the yachts. Yeah. 2013 was definitely like the, you know, maybe it was 2012 when I separated from that guy and, took my yoga training, and then I think 2013 in early October I went to the yachts. So yeah, pretty much 10 years.
And it was like a 3 month thing that turned into 6 years. You're like,
yeah,
I'm just gonna do this thing. Yeah.
And it was not easy. Like that work on those boats was pretty intense. You're in tight living quarters. People were mean to me on the first boat I worked on. Like I was like thinking I was going out to this super fun, like this is gonna be like, these people must be so amazing and free, and they're just traveling the world and making great money, like, you know, I'm only imagining like the best of the best. And I got on this boat that was like people that had just they'd already been on this boat for 5 years, they'd had three captain changeovers, and they were just like really miserable, and the boat just sat in the Bahamas all the time, which sounds nice, but it wasn't. It was like this lost in paradise feeling. Like they were quite bored of it, and all they wanted to do was drink. And I was like, that's not really what I want to be doing here. And that was always a thing through the yachting world that like I was kind of had an aversion to, because people do, like, whether it's the chefs that are so tired and they're aching, there's like many reasons why people kind of, A, they make great money, they get off work and it's like, let's go out for dinner at this fancy restaurant. And then, you know, they also want to relax because they've been working really hard, and then like shots and round of shots are bought. And anyway, this is why I had to write a book. There's so much.
There's so many
little shenanigans and stories that took place through that, and all the learning and ebb and flow of different, you know, experiences and friends along the way. And that feeling of like those, even though when you talk about the pivotal points, those friends that meet you along the way that somehow guide you, and even not the ones that don't feel like friends, that give you that pivotal point of the reason why you left, you know, the reason why you're like, I can't do this anymore. I still look at those kind of people like, thank you, you know, somewhere I feel like there was a reason why they came along as well, because maybe I wasn't listening to my own intuition and my heart and knowing when it was time to make a change. And so somebody can show up and just sort of like give you a shove. And in the moment you feel annoyed or irritated and all
that. You're like, that wasn't all what I wanted.
And then you look back and you're like, thank God that person really just annoyed me, or was mean to me at work to the point where I couldn't stay there anymore.
I had to quit.
Yeah.
Even just with your relationship with your boyfriend, right? Like, I mean, some people would choose to figure that out. But you guys had decided like that was part of your relationship and you stuck true to that. And then that opened up this opportunity for you to live with some girls that you probably never would have connected with, which opened up this world of like art, which is like what you've created now in Nicaragua, the space of art. And I know I've talked to you about this too, but like Kile has talked about this, how art is like medicine to her.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way of just expressing, it's a way of healing, it's a way of, navigating some areas that maybe you couldn't otherwise. You can't put words to it, but you can put imagery to it.
And from my training with all the, like, I went on and did a yoga therapy program. And so I learned so much about what's taking place, why there's healing taking place in the body. And in the same way that things like meditation and focus heal you, essentially because you drop into your parasympathetic nervous system. You go into your rest and digest when you're in those states. You also tone and fluctuate your nervous system, but you teach your body how to go between the two, between sympathetic and parasympathetic, and you learn to breathe even when you're in the sympathetic. Like I always say to my students, if you're standing in a balancing pose, you're actually in a fear state. Your body's going, am I safe here? Is it okay? Am I going to fall over? And you're peaking your sympathetic nervous system, but then the yoga teacher's reminding you to breathe. And to bring balance, and you start to train your brain to do that outside of the work, outside of the work of yoga and the practice of the physical practice. But then you're suddenly in maybe a work situation and something's confrontational in a moment where you might have felt fear or something, and you go back to your breath without even thinking about it. Right. And in the same way, and in the same way through art, it's not so much about peaking the sympathetic, but it's about you naturally drop into your parasympathetic because you're so focused. And when you're in your sympathetic, you rest and digest. So much healing is taking place in the body when you're in that state of rest and digest. And so I see such a value in like kids and the community and everyone being able to like tap into that and utilize it, whether they know or understand it or not.
Yeah, they may not know exactly that what's going on, but just the fact that you're creating a space for that to be very common. Like, I mean, everybody that I've met in Nicaragua knew about the Art Cafe and has spent and experienced time there. And I think, like, it's interesting. It's an interesting thing because Nicaragua, especially San Juan, it's such a transitional space. People are coming, a lot of travelers, a lot of backpackers. And yet people are coming and they're, like, doing this very detailed work with beading or with painting or with macrame or whatever. And it's like, there is so much that's going on in our lives, and traveling can kind of numb out a little bit when you're constantly moving. You're always doing something. And so you don't always deal with the stuff that's the heart matter stuff. Where I think that's the beautiful thing about Art Warehouse is that you don't even realize that there's something beautiful happening. You're just doing art and you're like in the zone and you're like, wow, like you're really concentrated on the lines or the shapes or whatever it is. And all of your attention is needed in this specific moment. You're not thinking about all other things. And I think that's something that you've created and people are drawn to it. And it's a beautiful space that I think people don't, especially through traveling, that's something we've missed. And we're very like a very creative family. We love to like make and build and do things. But when you're traveling, you don't have hot glue and you don't have paints. You don't have things in your backpack.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot. Well,
I got to experience that. I didn't start the Art Warehouse.
We're good. Just couldn't hear you for a second.
Oh. I got to experience it in that way. And I was so grateful because I came in just as a guest coming in and being like, oh my gosh, literally there's all that. I can use paints and you can't have all that when you're traveling. So I was so excited and I had learned that it was helping me. So when I would come down here and try to have time off, I was like, yes, I can go and do art at the Art Warehouse.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I don't know when the hands exchanged, but you've just kept it and sounds like you've just even branched out into more now with what you're doing in the space that you're in currently.
Yeah.
We're
loving our new space.
It's to just branch.
I'm just gonna plug my phone in. So hopefully that'll mess up the camera. I'll just hold it. We're so much happier in this new space in so many ways, just because it's more outdoors and I feel like the staff can breathe. Literally, like on these hot, humid days,
that
you can like have a little airflow, and it's nice.
Oh, that's amazing! Wow, Ruth, your story. I hope you do write a book. Like, I hope you do finish your book. Maybe you have, but
it's
like that's. I would just be so interested to hear all of the things that
it's there. It's written,
but it's interesting.
I feel like the biggest thing that puts. I mean, I put it on hold when I started doing everything with the warehouse, and I was okay with that. I think I kind of had the incentive, like, I want to write a book by the time I'm 60. And so the fact that I got as far as I did, I was like really happy about that. And I know that it will be finished at some point, but I also keep having more experiences that I'm like, maybe I should add that in there.
I was going to say that the book's just growing, life is just happening.
But I also, I mean, there's a lot. In all the travels, there's so many different accents. And one of the things that have set me back huge with finishing my book is that all the dialogue needs to be like an Australian accent, a British accent, and a Nicaraguan. And it's a lot to try to do that. So I need some help with that. I'm going to put that out there. If anyone knows how, if anyone just excels at doing various accents.
Putting that behind.
For dialogue, I could use the help.
Because that does change a lot. It really puts you into the story. Like, oh, this is this character.
It's so key. And you know, I recently actually took a very quick job on a yacht, and it was really cool to go back, and it made me realize I do want to do it a little bit more here and there and do the cook. I fell in love with cooking again, and I was like, this is, I forgot the joy of it. And I wasn't cooking for guests, I was just cooking for crew. So it was really like, you know, 8 to 5 and doing what I wanted essentially as far as menu. And, the cool thing was, is I was there and I was watching everything, like these details that I was like, I could add that into my book to add detail. Just describing people's, what they're wearing, everybody, you know, like the comment, there's like little like spritzy drinks that everyone always has on the boats, or like these, just like they're on every boat. There's these commonalities that are so relatable and funny. And so I was starting to like realize like I actually should come back and work on the boats and take notes of all this stuff and utilize it to keep adding that, building that character and bringing the book to life. So, yeah.
Totally. Yeah, like having the details so people can really are like in it with you. They can understand surroundings and who you're serving and who's in that space and things like that. All those fine details.
Totally. And it's, you know, there's something so therapeutic because it's like my own personal stories, and it's really good to actually step away from that and come back in a state where it's like, I'm not so in it. I can be sort of looking at it from an outside perspective in a way that it can be more fun. And just become more about like adding the fun details of like just colors and what their people were wearing or the way they moved or whatever. And those little fun details that I think, they do just bring it to life.
Oh, I hope you do. You'll have to let me know when it comes out. I don't know how many more years you have till your 60th birthday, but between now and then,
we will see.
That's amazing. I always like to ask this question at the end, and I feel like there's so many little tidbits I could just take notes on what you're saying. Just like, I loved how you touched on just forgiveness and letting go, and but also going and revisiting somebody who would have been really hard to go revisit, and just letting like that whole thing, like no holding any guilt or shame.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we let that go. That's really powerful what you did.
It taught me so much about, you know, the way that I take on other people's even kind of ways when somebody is moody or whatever it is. And especially long-term, because I think I'm the kind of person that does like, I'm an Aries. So I like, I do have a little fiery cracker reaction sometimes. And at the same time, I have a quick forgiveness, and I learned so much from that, and realizing like, it's not worth it for me to actually drag my hurt and my pain and what other people did, because essentially it wasn't about them wanting to hurt me. I really learned how much like people do things thoughtlessly or whatever the case, you know, through their own conditioning, whatever it is that, you know, it's not always, even though we feel hurt, it's definitely not, I don't believe that most people have intentions to hurt other people, even though it can seem like that, or at times we even think that people are intentionally doing things. And even if they are, I still don't make it about me. I guess that's just it. It's sort of like they're doing that because they're hurt or they're confused or misguided, or, you know, and it's just not about me. Mm-hmm. So mine to carry either. And that's changed so much for me through my life, to be able to just kind of go, okay, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let it go. And it doesn't, you know, there's still boundaries of, you know, I don't choose to spend my time with people that have mistreated me, but it's, been a massive journey to forgive.
But I think even that comes from like knowing your value, right? Like you've touched on it earlier on, like this person you loved and adored, but knowing that your value and even though it was hard and your heart was broken, to go like, no, I'm not going to stay in that, because like I deserve better than that. And to see that instead of getting sucked into that and being in that roller coaster ride of revisiting this idea of what that looks like over and over again. When is the last drop?
Yeah, exactly. You know, when is the last drop? Yeah.
But just seeing that, like, no, I deserve more than that, and then doing the thing, and then it took you to this yacht life, to like living in Nicaragua, to like.
It's taken me on an incredible journey, and it's so funny how like I, you know, at that time in my life, the idea of like moving out of my house and having to be in a smaller apartment, and then to be in the yachting world and you literally share a tiny cabin and sleep in a bunk bed. My concept of what's necessary now has changed so much. Like, I look back on that and I'm like, I wouldn't even care now. And I was also so confused about how to be alone, or felt like, yeah, like if I wasn't a couple, then I was very, you know, like undesired or unwanted in some way. And I look at the way I live now, and when I'm on my own, I just am like in such joy, you know, and I don't feel a lack of value in it. I just feel like I've got my space, and I have that trust that like the right people, I really feel that like when you're on a certain vibration, people are going to be attracted into your tribe, essentially, and trusting that and knowing that like if you're not attracting the people that you want to attract around you, or noticing what kind of people you are attracting, then like that's the point to check in and go like, do I need to make some changes? Do I need to do, you know, more self-practice and all those things? And I noticed when I focus on that, how quickly, A, if I check in with myself on that and I go, no, I'm actually really good with how I am. So then that's not mine to take on. But if there's something that's mine to take on, it's that reflection with self and realizing that like, maybe I need to get back in my routine, whether it's my exercise or my healthy eating or all the things. So, my meditation, all of it.
Yeah. The things that build you up. Well, before we close off here, what is one thing in your life recently that you find is bringing you an immense joy?
First thing I want to say is my dog. Like, there's so many amazing things, but she's with me in so many moments that I just like, even in the moments if I feel down or anything, I just look at her and she just is such a ball of love and comedy as well. And so she does, she brings me complete joy, but also teaching this yoga teacher training is like, it just feels like I've been wanting to constantly grow and explore in that journey, that realm of learning and teaching and learning and teaching, because it is a constant cycle and we're always learning even from the students. And it fills my heart. It definitely just like, it lifts me up.
Well, that's amazing. Well, I am like, I'm just in awe. I feel like I'm going to have to go back and listen and take notes on some of the things that you said. There's so many things. And I just appreciate you being here and taking the time, Ruth, to share your story. It's like amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, like I love,
I was just flattered that you even were thinking of me to do this. And I look forward to getting to listen to the podcast. I've been running on the go and I haven't listened to them. So I'm really excited to find out some of these other juicy stories.
There's so many. I know, they just keep going. So thank you so much. And I will send you all the info when your ours come out. But thank you for being here and for making the space in the midst. I love hearing all the birds and stuff in the background. And I can hear everything's happening in the little cafe. So thank
tropical
you.
Tropical world.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
We have got crazy iguanas here.
It's gorgeous. Oh, do you?
Manuel's been feeding them.
Aw, that's cute. Yeah. That's cool.
All right.
They're good company. Well, have an amazing rest of your day. And thanks again for being here. And
thank you. So good to see you.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast goodness. This way you'll never miss out on any future episodes. Plus, it really helps us. And if you want to share your favorite episode with a friend, that would be absolutely incredible. This goes a long way. If you'd like to join Naked by sharing part of your story, just leave us a message on Instagram or email us at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. Also, a big thanks to my son, Mikkel, who is the best cheerleader and maybe one of the biggest believers in Naked, and also produces and edits all our podcasts. I am beyond grateful for him and very aware that I couldn't do this on my own. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being here.